You are listening to the Sojourn Church podcast. If you have any questions or would like to view a video version of this message, please visit our website, sojournchurch.org.
Hey, welcome, Sojourn family, and we are excited about our Advanced Foundation class that we've been having. We hope you've enjoyed them. We've enjoyed them so much, and we believe that this is truth. And so as we hear the truth and explore truth together, it'll continue to show us God's plan and His will for our lives. Our desire is that you encounter Him every time we open these manuals, every time we explore the Word together, every time we pray. We desire for you to encounter Jesus and for Him to transform us into who He's called us to be. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started. So Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, as we're joining in with our Sojourn family and all of those who would want to listen, we have people that would listen from all over. Our prayer is, Lord, that the very spirit that you have, that you've given to us, Lord, that we would encounter and it would change us into who you've called us and who you want us to be. So we're thankful for that, and we love and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us. We've been going through our Advanced Foundations manual called Basic Training, and I want to encourage you that if it's your first time, you can download the manual, but at the same time, every lesson that we do is a standalone lesson also. We're sharing truth, Chris, from the Bible, that it's good to understand how it fits together, but at the same time, each one is extremely important. If you've not watched the previous ones, I encourage you to go onto the YouTube channel and find them and watch them. But at the same time, if you happen to just be watching this the first time, don't leave us. Watch, because it's important truth that we're sharing. Now, basically, just a quick review. We've been talking about basic training, purpose of being prepared to advance the kingdom of God. Like any kind of a basic training for military units, they have to go through that, trying to understand how to, where they've come from, to operate in a new way. We need the power of the Spirit. We've talked about that. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need to understand the purpose of the wildernesses that we go through, because they're designed to help us grow up. That's really as our basic training, and looking at it from everybody pretty well goes through a wilderness experience. We talked about the Word of God being our primary weapon. Right. How important is Jesus responds to his temptations? It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then last week, we really talked about the primary battle that we face is the battle of the mind. Mm-hmm. The thoughts that come in, the fiery darts of the enemy that try to cause us to bring us down. Again, the Romans 8:6 says that the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Enemy knows that if he can get you thinking negatively on the circumstances and situations and things of that, we've got a lot of stuff to think negative on most of the time, it's going to produce death. But if the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So as we start this particular section, this is chapter 6, we want to talk about the battle of relationships. Let me remind us, now this is not in the manual, but John 10:10, to me, captures the essence of everything that we're really talking about. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and might have it more abundant. Clearly, it's those two distinctives. Enemy is constantly trying to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus is trying to give us life and have it more abundant. So this particular section, I think, is so important. If we don't understand the battle of the mind, it's hard to win. If we don't understand the battle of relationships, it's, again, it feeds off the battle of the mind. Matthew 12:25, that every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every house or city divided against itself will not stand. Now, it's a principle of the kingdom of God. I'm taking this out of where they accuse Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, but it's a principle. The enemy knows that the power of agreement. Now, don't turn there. We're going to look at chapter 18 of Matthew in a minute. But when you look, there's a verse in there that says that when two agree, you can ask whatever can will be done by my Father in heaven. The power of agreement is huge, and the enemy knows the power of disagreement and division is huge. So the enemy's always trying to bring division.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that's so important. Everybody has to deal with relationships. Everybody. And so the enemy knows that this is so important in our lives. We need each other. And so what better way to come against us or come against his people than to divide with relationships, with all the different schemes that he comes against us with through these relationships. So this is so important. So I'm glad about this chapter.
I mean, the devil works overtime in trying to do husband and wife relationship, parent and child relationships, church relationship, work associations, always those that are close. The enemy is trying to work in, try to cause division, because again, the power of agreement is powerful. So if we understand how we work together, we can bring forth the kingdom of God. He knows that if that happens, he's going to be defeated, so he does everything possible. Look at Matthew 6. We have this in the middle of the page there. This is what we call the Lord's Prayer, or it's the model prayer. It says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So again, he's telling us to pray. Pray to the Father. Acknowledge him of who he is. Acknowledge his name. Acknowledge his greatness. And that's why we pray to Father. We're to pray specifically for his rule and reign to come on earth. Not about getting out of here. It's about his kingdom being established here on the earth and his will being done on the earth. And he tells us to pray for daily bread, for provision. And then this verse, and we put it in bold, drops it right in the middle of it. And it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's interesting because then he tells us to pray for protection. So it's right in the middle of this prayer. I think the emphasis is God is trying to say right relationship is huge.
That's right.
To me. Now, look at the next passage down here, Matthew 6, 14 through 15. It says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So after the prayer, then Jesus comes back and reiterates the issue of relationships. Mm-hmm. Now, we are forgiven. God has forgiven us a debt that we couldn't pay. He forgave us our sin. But I think what the emphasis here is that if we're going to continue to have life, if we're going to have life abundant, we understand the power and the understanding how important right relationships really are. Now, this next section here, I want to make a connection. It's very, very important. If we're going to be conformed to the image of God, He is love. And so a lot of times what happens, we're wanting to get free or we're wanting to do all these different things, but God's trying to grow us up. That's his point. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to look like him. The more that we look like him, the more we act like him, the more that his kingdom is established. And one of the things is really love. And so I always like to say that it's easy for me to say, Brother Chris, I love you and we're good friends. I love you and bless you. And you say the same thing, but let's have a conflict and see if we're really going to forgive one another.
That's right. We have, and we have.
Yes.
And we're still here. And I love that when God put that prayer right in the middle, we're just forgiveness. I mean, this is the crucial point, a hinge point of even relationships, and it's able to happen. So it's a big deal.
1 John chapter 4, this is not in the manual. I just want to read this. It begins in verse 19. It says, we love him because he loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he's seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen?
That's right.
And this commandment we have from him, that we who love God must love his brother also. So it's very, very important to recognize that forgiveness is paramount in God's eyes. And it's very, very important for us to understand the power of forgiveness, because I really believe it's love in action.
Right.
It's easy to say, I love you, words. But Jesus didn't just love us with words. Mm-hmm. Jesus went to the cross and died for us. He didn't just say, well, I love you. Okay, no, he said, I love you so much. I've demonstrated my love by going to the cross and dying our death. And on the cross, he forgave us. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So it's the power of this love that we want to talk about in forgiveness. Look at Matthew 18, and I want us to read this. This is a very, very important passage. I think it's so important. There's a lot of things in Matthew 18, and Matthew 18, verse 7 says, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. So, interesting verse. It says, offenses are going to come. Offenses are basically opportunities for us to harbor unforgiveness. And it's they must come. Mm-hmm. Why must they come? I've asked that question to myself, and I've prayed and said, Lord, what is that all about? Well, if we're ever going to be conformed to the image of Christ, we're going to have to understand forgiveness is an expression of him, and it's love extended. So he's saying, look, they're going to come because there's no other way for you to really know if you can love and forgive someone unless you're being offended, unless something has happened to you to cause you to wrestle with that issue. Now, I think this whole Matthew 18 passage is so very, very important, beginning in verse 15. And we have this, we don't have that written. Let me just start here. I don't want to read that's not in the manual. Verse 21 says, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And Jesus said, I do not say to you seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, that's an amazing passage. I'm sure Peter is just going, wow. He just said offenses must come. And now he basically goes through, there's a number of things in Matthew 18. And he gets there and he says, look, how many times do I have to forgive this guy that offends me? And he said, seven times? And again, there's all kinds of studies. I don't know what if it's true or not. The number of seven is sort of the rabbinical number of saying that, you know, if I do that enough, then what does that mean? Does it mean that at that point in time, I don't have to forgive him anymore? So Peter, whatever he's saying here, but Jesus takes it 490 times. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying 490 times. He's saying that you think of it in one level, I think of it as another level. I mean, seven compared to 490 is a huge, a huge difference. And he's just saying, look, I want you to understand the importance of forgiveness.
That's right. When you were reading that, and I've seen it several times, Peter obviously had a number or some kind of agenda by asking that question. either somebody had offended him. I thought about that. It's like, I'll go to Jesus. And I've done that several times where I'd be like, I'm going to go to Terry. And I'll have something in my mind either you or the Holy Spirit will give me something different. And this is what happened here. Peter had something going. He's like, I'm going to ask him. And it probably wasn't the number he came up with, obviously, that he wanted. But the truth still remains, and that is that we need to forgive.
Matthew 18, again, it's the beginning of that parable there in verse 23. We have the first verse there. It's that, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, I'm not going to read the whole passage. I encourage you to read it. But if you go to that and look at it, he basically said this servant came to his master and begged him to forgive him of debt he couldn't pay. If you look that up in today's dollars, it'd probably be millions of dollars that the guy owed. And Jesus, when he tells a parable, he tells it in such a way that it's making a point, and he usually makes it so huge to make a point. So he's saying this guy owed so much money that it was impossible for him to pay it. And he said he begged him to forgive him. And he said he had compassion on him. He not only forgave him, but he released him completely. And then the servant goes out and finds somebody owes him a little, very small, maybe a week's wages. And basically, he did the same thing, but he wouldn't forgive him. and he threw him into jail. He begged him to be forgiven. And this is the master was moved, was upset, because he said, did I not forgive you a debt that you couldn't pay? And now you would not forgive your brother. So he said, I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors or the torturers until you've paid all. So a couple of things from this parable. Number one is that the guy that owed the money that had been forgiven, this huge, massive debt, wouldn't forgive somebody with a little debt. And because he wouldn't forgive, he still ends up in prison at the end. And so the point is that we've been forgiven a debt that we could not pay. No matter how much we tried, no matter how good we tried to be, no matter, we couldn't pay it. It was impossible to make ourselves righteous to God. So God had to choose to have compassion upon us. He forgave us, and he released us from the obligation of us trying to perform to gain acceptance to him. Amazing, amazing. So he's saying, look, you were forgiven a debt that is so, it's impossible. You can't pay it. Now, I want you to go out, and I want you to forgive those who, quote, owe you something. And again, I realize that we're dealing with something that's huge. There are offenses, there hurts, there's pain, there's abuses, there's people who have been they've been violated really in a bad way. But it still doesn't change the fact that God has called us to really forgive. And we're going to look at this in a minute again, but I just say it over and over again. Forgiveness is love in action. Now, we talked about 2 weeks ago the issue of our word, the word of God being our primary weapon. Well, you think about love. If love never fails and God is love, then that's a pretty powerful weapon.
That's right.
So if we would love and forgive, it's amazing what I think we would power we'd see behind it.
And it's love in action. That reminds me of a story. I had an accident where I hit a guy in a fender bender with my car. And so I went to go exchange insurance information. And the guy looks at me and he goes, don't worry about it. He goes, I'll take care of everything. I said, no, I said, I got to make it right. He goes, I'm telling you, just go. And I was like, are you sure? He goes, I'm sure. I go, no, you're going to come back and get me, you know, later. He said, no, just go ahead and go. And I saw that guy later on. And the car didn't have any dents in. I go, what happened? He goes, well, I worked at a dealership, and my father is the one who is over the collision. And he goes, I knew my father would buff that dent out, and so it was not a big deal. And I was tormented by it, but he had really let me go and released me. And the dent wasn't even there. You couldn't even tell. It's like his father had taken care of it. I'm telling you what, the weight that came off of my shoulders when it comes to being forgiven, the same thing God did for us. It's not even there anymore because he forgave us and he let us go. When we should have received a punishment, he forgave us.
You know, I think when we start talking about forgiveness, I mean, immediately names, faces
right.
start coming to our mind. And I want us to take just a moment now and just take a second to really pray and ask the Lord, because God wants us free. He paid with his life at the cross and shed his blood so we could be free.
Right.
Not problem free, but free from any access point that the enemy has. And this is one of those areas that if you want to be free, forgiveness frees you probably faster than anything else. Unforgiveness traps you and it keeps you in bondage faster than anything else.
Right.
And so I want us to take a moment and want us to pray and really ask the Lord to show us if we need to forgive and release people. Because I talked to somebody actually this morning that talked about the issue of deep hurts and wounds from childhood and from abuses that have happened. And we recognize this is not easy. So I'm not making light of that. We'll talk about this as we continue on. But it's still the initial beginning of this is choosing to forgive. You don't feel like forgiving. You don't just wake up going, wow, I can't wait to forgive today. No, the truth is you don't feel like forgiving. You feel like, I always say we want to get even. Most people don't want to get even. They want to kill them. And so the truth of the matter is that we've got to really choose to forgive. We're not forgiving because it does something like we're accepting whatever they do or whatever they did or whatever they didn't do. We're not saying that. Forgiveness is for us.
That's right.
It frees us. And what forgiveness does is not agreeing with what was done. It's just choosing a higher road of choosing to extend love in a dimension that God gives to us to love. And we can forgive because the forgiver lives in us.
And I can tell you, I can hear, you probably can hear this too, Pastor Terry, that famous sentence that says, "But you have no idea what they did to me. You weren't there. You don't know what they did to me." And that's right. We have no idea what they've done. We don't even know the pain necessarily, but we know the forgiver, and we know that he forgave us, and we can forgive because, just like you said, he lives in us.
Well, Father, we love you and we bless you, and I just ask now, Lord, show us those people that we need to forgive.
That's right.
And release.
Yes, Lord.
You've given us grace. You've extended grace to us, and so, Lord, I'm just asking in the name of Jesus that right now, for everybody that's listening to this, they just take just a moment. They pause and just say, "Lord, show me. I want to be free. I want to release. I want to forgive. I want to bless. I want to let go of the pain and the hurt." And this is how you let go of it. You forgive. You choose to extend love, a love that was extended to you. You were forgiven a debt that you could not pay. And God wants us to see that the debt we were forgiven is so great compared to the offense and the hurt and the wound of which someone did to us. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just choose to forgive. We choose to extend love. We choose to release them completely. Now, you can do that.
That's right.
We're going to talk more about it, but you can do that. Now, Lord, we love you. We just thank you for your grace that you've extended to us, and we love you, we bless you, and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Look at this. I want to continue on because we want to deal with the issue of anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and give no place to the devil." Chris, I've shared many times that I never figured out how to do that. I seem to always get angry and sin.
That's right.
And so what he's saying is, it's an interesting verse because growing up in church, you know, I don't know if it was ever said to me, but I always felt like, well, if I got angry, that was terrible. Mm. But he's saying that be angry because anger is an emotion. If you cannot tell yourself to not get angry.
That's right.
When you've been hurt or abused, you're going to get angry. Mm-hmm. But what he's saying here is that be angry. Let that emotion, don't push it down and don't try to stuff it. Obviously, don't let it explode either. But understand the emotion of being angry. When somebody hurts you, you get angry. When somebody says something, you get angry. It says, but don't let anger, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Basically, he's saying deal with it in a short period of time. The shorter period of time that we can deal with it, like a day before the sun goes down, the better it'll be. And I mean, you think about it yourself. If you let things simmer, it just builds. It builds, it builds, it builds, it builds. It just gets worse. And so he's saying, look, deal with it. Deal with it. You're going to get angry. There are people going to say things, do things. You're going to get angry. But at the same time, recognize that, wait a minute, that's going to kill me.
That's right.
I'm going to have to deal with this. This is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I've got to release them and bless them in that and do the best that you can.
It's just like a pressure cooker. And Pastor Terry, I think about it, about your testimony, how how God delivered you from a spirit of anger. And I was thinking about that, and I, you know, during the quarantine, I'd watch some of the old Incredible Hulk shows, and David Banner always said this. He goes, "Don't make me angry. You won't like it when I'm angry." Then he would explode into the Incredible Hulk. And so the people are like that, though.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with the anger differently, but you're right. The sooner we can deal with it, the better for us.
Anger is basically it's toxic. If you don't deal with anger and you stuff it down, ultimately it's going to spew out. It's going to come out. It's like taking a Coke and shaking it up. With a kid, we used to do that. with our thumb over the top, and before long it's going to spew. Of course, we spew it on somebody.
That's right.
But it's just like that. If you stuff it down, it's going to come out. Or you stuff it down, and it'll turn you into depression. It's going to, it has a toxic effect. Again, not saying don't get angry. It says be angry. You deal with the emotions, but don't let the emotions rule you.
That's right.
And so that's what it's saying here. And so the bottom line is that, look at the verse 29. We're skipping a couple of verses here, but we're making a point. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So again, when you get angry, typically we let our mouth begin to say things and do things that we shouldn't say. Because it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's easy for us to, and if I get hurt or get offended or get upset, and then boom, I'm speaking it out. And again, that's what it's saying here. You've got to understand the power of anger. Deal with it. Mm-hmm. Don't let it come out of your mouth and start profaning not only yourself, but others also. And then, of course, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So it's really important for us to see it again. This is what we read earlier in Matthew was from Jesus's comments, mm-hmm. Jesus telling the story, and now we're having it from the epistles from Paul writing to the letter to the Ephesians. But the point is that we get angry. You know, we just do. People hurt us. People do things. And we've got to understand the word before we turn the page there, back to the Ephesians 4:26 and 27, it says to give no place to the devil. The word for that word place is topo. It's where we get the word topographic. It means literally a place to land. So actually, when we get angry and we don't deal with it in the time frame, we're giving the devil a place we're giving him permission to harass us. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, Jesus said, turn you over to the tormentors. Those are probably demonic spirits. Forgiveness is so very, very important. The bottom line is forgiveness frees us.
That's right.
It's not about the other person. It's about us. Now, I'm going to make a statement here as we look at the next page, page 40. We need to be predetermined to not get offended, or we need to be predetermined to forgive. Say it that way. You can't keep yourself from being offended. You can't keep yourself from being angry when people do things they shouldn't do. It makes you upset.
It does.
But you've got to be already predetermined, wait, I'm going to choose to forgive. And I used to say that all the time. I'm predetermined to not be offended. And then people say, what? And I go, you're exactly right. I can't say that. I have predetermined to not hold on to an offense. Now, you like to fish.
I love fishing.
And we've talked about this many times. I mean, the devil has got some shiny things out there that he cast out there to try to get us.
That's right.
And well, I tell you what, an unforgiveness and anger is one of those.
You bite on it once, you can bite on it twice. Caught a fish last week where bit one lure and bit the same lure twice. So sometimes that happens where you be like, I'm going to bite on it. Oh, I should have forgave. And then it comes back again and you bite on it again. So I'm telling you, it is the enemy's playing his target is to get you to bite on that unforgiveness so he can hook you and get you to a place of depression and anxiety and worry, all that to get you out of the place that God has for you.
I'm really not a fisherman, but I actually did watch. I mean, when there's no sports on at all, there's the fishing channel. So I've discovered the fishing channel. And like I said, most of the time, all I do when I fish is that I stick the hook in me. But I was watching this professional fisherman, and he has all these rods with all the different kinds of lure on them. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, is that interesting? Because he was determined to catch fish.
That's right.
And he was really not, didn't care what lure or what it was, he was determined to get that fish out of that water into the boat.
That's right.
And that's what the devil is. He just comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't care how he does it. He doesn't care what lure he uses. He just wants to kill you and destroy your life. And so I think it's interesting because that's how you fish. You fish with different lures.
That's right. I have a bunch of them, and I don't care how I hook them. I'm just trying to get them.
Well, it's amazing. Okay, look at page 40. We're going to talk about some things here. Number one thing to really, how do we walk in forgiveness is that you've got to take your thoughts captive. It begins, that's why we said last week, if you don't understand the battle of the mind,
that's right,
you are going to not win the battle of relationship.
You're sunk.
Because it starts in the mind with thoughts. So you've got to take thoughts captive, and you've got to recognize what this battle is. I mean, you know, when the enemy casts that old lure of offense out there, you've got to learn how to turn and let that thing go on by.
Let it swim by.
And I listen, we've all learned the opposite way. It's hit us right in the face.
That's right.
And, you know, later do you realize, oh, my gosh, you know, I got offended, I got upset, I got angry. I've blurbed all that stuff out. And then bottom line is I didn't do what he said do, was to be kind, tenderhearted, loving one another, forgiving one another, and I got offended.
That's right.
And so it's so important to recognize that it starts here in the mind, and you've got to take those thoughts captive and stop them. To the extent that you got to recognize that even if they meant to offend you, you've just got to right there stop it. You got to go, you know, even if that was a slam, I mean, that person meant to say that, he meant to do that, or she meant to do that, you just got to go, no, I've been there, done that, and I have already predetermined to forgive and to release. I'm not going to go there.
That one seems like the hardest one. You just like, did you see that? Did you see what that? And so that would seem like it would be the hardest. Still have to deal with it and release people.
Now, again, number two there, if you don't stop those thoughts, I'm telling you, your emotions are going to get inflamed. They just are. And the enemy knows that. So he's very subtle to try to he's trying to get you offended so that he gets your emotions involved in it. And once the emotions get inflamed, it's going to be really hard to take those thoughts captive. That's where the anger comes in. But if you do, you've got to recognize right off, the Bible says we battle not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
But we do battle. And we've got to understand that years ago when the Bible study we would go to, the man said, now, if you can pinch them, and they squeal, that's not your problem.
Not your problem.
Now, you know, that's a hard thing for us to understand because it seems to be always interpersonal relationships. And as we talked about, the closest relationships.
The ones closest to you.
Husband and wife and children and parents and parent and children and work relationships and people were at church and those kind of relationships. It's only those kinds of relationships that have the power to advance the kingdom of God. That's why the enemy is always working on those.
That's right. Is that saying in the world that says you only hurt the ones you love? Mm-hmm. You have those people that are in your life, you love them, but at the same time, the enemy's using them. And I love that saying when you say, if you can pinch them and they squeal, that's not your problem. But I remember when I first heard that, I'd be like, I want to pinch them again and have them squeal again.
Well, it's just the way it is. It's human nature. But that's what the sin does to us. It causes us wanting to get even. It causes us to just get hurt and get wounded. Number three here, I want to talk about this a little bit. We said earlier, forgiveness is a decision of the will. It's not based on feelings. You don't ever forgive someone based on how you feel. You know, I've never met any person that said, you know, I just feel like forgiving today.
Me neither.
You know, they feel like killing them. If you are led by your emotions, you're always going to get astray. And I'm not saying emotions are bad. God gave us emotions. But I'm just saying, though, that we have to choose. It's a decision. I'm going to choose to obey the word of God, and I'm going to choose to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to release them from an expectation that they have to do something to make it right. Because that's what a lot of people have. They go, well, when they make it right, I'll forgive them. That doesn't usually work. You know, you have to forgive. It releases you.
That's right.
Now, again, choosing to obey, we've written it down here. It does not mean that we condone their sin or their offenses. Mm-hmm. People, they go, well, I can't do that because it was wrong what they did. Didn't say it wasn't wrong. That's not the issue. The issue is not, you're not saying it was okay. Some people have been terribly abused. They've been victimized. No. It was not right. We're not saying that, oh, it was okay. You're just choosing to take a higher road to release love that God had loved us with. And, you know, I know your people are sitting there thinking right now, but it's not right. It wasn't right what they did. I was abused as a child. I was sexually molested. I was cheated on or whatever. I agree. You're dealing with a lot of issues. But the power of love is the greatest power on the face of the earth. That's the greatest power there is, because God is love. And love never fails. And love is expressed not just in words, but in action. And this is what we're talking about. Choosing to forgive and releasing them is huge.
I was thinking about this, Pastor, as I was reading this and knew we'd be talking about it. This morning, I was driving my car, and I had forgot to release the emergency brake in my car. But I was driving and didn't know, but I was restrained, and I didn't understand why I was restrained. And all of a sudden, the alarm came on and said, hey, release the brake. So I reached down and released the brake, and it shut up, and I was able to go forward. I'm telling you, that's the same thing with unforget. You release the brake, it releases you to be able to go and be who God's called you to be and do. And you're like, well, what it releases them? It releases them, but it also releases you. So I'm telling you, by the end of this, I believe people will be able to release the brake that's been keeping them from going forward.
That's really good. Look at the last section here. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 27, 28. It's mentioned in Matthew also. I say to you who hear. So the question is, are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying at this time? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Wow.
That's a lot.
I mean, that's a lot. Look at the next page here. I want to walk through this and just talk about it a little bit, because I recognize that we've got people watching that have really been hurt and abused. We got people here that are dealing with, it's not a light thing. It's easy to say you do this, but they're walking through a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of issues. So I'm not making light of that. I'm not saying this is easy, but I am saying it's powerful. And if we understand the truth will make you free.
That's right.
And the devil wants to keep you in bondage. The first thing is to choose love. Well, what choosing love is forgive. And you really have to say, Lord, I forgive Fred. I forgive Sally. I forgive whoever. You need to verbally say it out of your mouth. I choose to forgive. I release them for what they have done to me or they've not done. And you just that's love in action. The second thing here is do good to those who hate you and have hurt you. And I realize that it's like, wow, how do I do that? I don't know. You've got to pray and ask the Lord to show you.
That's right. Yes.
I've had people come up to me and they say, my parents or a father really abused me. He's dead. What do I do? Well, I say, even in your prayers, you choose to bless and you choose to release them, you choose to forgive them. The third one is to bless. Speak blessings. Practice blessing others, especially those who've hurt you. And same thing, pray for those who spitefully use you. There's a four-step process there that really we need to learn how to do. And I think people will say, well, I just can't. You can start. And they say, but my heart's not in it. And I understand that when you've really been hurt. But there is a process of learning to activate God's word in agreement with God. It releases God to do a work in your life. The more that we do that, the more that it begins to work in our life. So I choose to forgive. Lord, show me what can I do to show them good. I'm going to bless them verbally. I'm going to bless them, bless their family, bless their work, bless their whatever. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them, Lord. I pray that you would bless them. It's not easy, but I'm going to tell you, it's powerful. And God's word is a weapon, and of course, love is the greatest expression of that. But his word, if we begin to pray his word and believe his word, it will release freedom.
That is so good, Pastor Terry. I was thinking about that, you know, just love, do good, bless. I mean, out of your mouth, You know, the Bible talks about can cursing and blessing flow out of your mouth, but out of your heart, when you bless somebody and choose to pray for them, I mean, that transforms you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, while it's transforming them, could release them, transform them, but it does, that's something about transforming the inside of you into being who God's called you to be and do.
Now, before we pray and close here, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 11. It's not in the manual. And so if you have your electronic device or your Bible, I want to encourage you to look at this passage. If you don't have it available, I encourage you to write this down. You can look at it later. There's one more aspect we need to look at when we talk about offenses, and this is a getting offended at God.
That's right.
Matthew 11 is a story of John the Baptist is in prison, beginning in verse 2. So when John had heard he was in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. He said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things that you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." And then this next verse is a very interesting verse. "And blessed is he who's not offended because of me." So here's the scenario. John is Jesus' cousin. John is the forerunner. John's the one who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world." He acknowledges, he knows who Jesus is by the Spirit. He has seen him. He's heard of the miracles. Well, by this in the journey of Jesus and John, John's in prison. And he knows the passage that Jesus quotes out of Isaiah that says that he comes to set the captives free. Well, he's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
He's my cousin. I'm the one who is announced. I'm the forerunner. Obviously, if this is the coming one, he's going to come get me out of prison.
Mm.
Now, that makes logical sense.
It does.
You know, and so he goes, "Guys, go over there and ask him if he's the one, because if he's the one, he's obviously going to come set me free."
Mm.
So they go over there and they come back and they say, "Yeah, he this is what he said." He goes, "What about the setting the captives, the prisoners free?" He said, "Well, he didn't mention that." But what he did say was, "Blessed is he who's not offended because of me."
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's my point. John had an expectation that God was going to perform in a certain way. And we get those expectations ourselves that we think that I prayed and a loved one died. I prayed and my marriage fell apart. I prayed and lost my job and my business. You're supposed to come through. And here's the problem. He said, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Jesus has proven his love. The problem is not on Jesus' end. The problem is our end and our expectation that he's supposed to do something the way we want it in the time frame we want it. Now, the reason I share this is because I'm telling you, we've got a lot of people in church, some of you that are listening here, you're offended at God.
That's right.
And if you get offended at God, where are you going to go to get help?
To get help, that's right. I mean, cause that to be offended at God. I'm telling you, there's been times where I've been disappointed in God. So sometimes we call it other words. I've been disappointed. I thought it was going to, listen, it's the same thing, but I know God wants to free us today.
Mm-hmm. Let's stand, and I just want us to close in prayer. And I want to pray for us again, because, again, this is such an important issue. I want to pray over this issue about being offended with God, though, because it's so easy for us to go, well, go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not offended with God, but deep down, we are. Mm-hmm. We feel like I got a dirty deal. I didn't get treated right. I got parents that didn't treat me right. I've got situations. I got cheated in work or business. I wouldn't dare say I'm offended at God. But the truth is that I've got that issue that I really feel like God has dealt me sort of an unjust hand.
Bad cards. You know, I mean, I know what that's like to the degree where you feel like he's just done you wrong. And so I'm just telling you, if you'll be honest with yourself, even right now, I'm telling you, God, he'll free you from that bondage.
Go ahead and pray.
So let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that because of your great love that we just talked about, your amazing love that's toward us, that you would help us, Lord, to deal with the disappointment, the hurts, the seemingly just feeling like, Lord, that I've just been done wrong, or expectations that we had on you. We just say, Lord, we repent of that, Lord, right now. And Lord, we just say, God, that free us from the bondage, the heaviness of being disappointed, and feeling like, Lord, that we just got dealt a bad hand. So we just ask you, Lord, to forgive us of that, and help us, Lord, to see you for who you are. So we choose to. You say, I choose, Lord, to forgive, to release myself, and to say, Lord, that you're a good God. You can say that out of your mouth, even right now. Lord, you're a good Father, and you have good things in store for me. And so I can trust you and know that you're working all things for my good.
Just take a deep breath and just let go of the pressure and the tension and the stress. I want you to think about the cross and the amazing sacrifice that Jesus did for us. Every stripe that he took, we deserved. The blood that he shed, that's what we were supposed to do.
Yes.
The nails, the amazing punishment that he took, that was the punishment that it was due us. He died our death. We deserve death. But the good news is that he's raised from the dead. He lives forevermore. It's great news.
That's right.
But what he did was he forgave us. And he wants us to learn how to forgive too. Does it hurt? Yes. But you can forgive. And so, again, I just want to pray for those that God would help us. He has helped us. We just have to receive the grace to forgive and choose to forgive. And the other thing I want to pray for is the whole issue of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who's really had a problem, had a terrible temper, and really got delivered of that. But that anger, boy, we've got a lot of angry people.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things that are going on in the traffic and where people get angry. That's because we've not dealt with anger. And I just pray right now for those that are dealing with anger and angry situations, Lord, help them to understand it's poison. And they can get rid of it by forgiving.
That's right. Yes, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you're releasing even right now. Those of you that had a short fuse, some of you just instant detonation, Lord wants to free you of that and just bring in peace. I just see the Prince of Peace riding in on your behalf. He wants you to be led by peace, where you would get angry, be delivered from, you would be angry and wouldn't sin. I also feel like just as early we were talking about the break, just release. Just go ahead and release the break. Some of you have been holding on to unforgiveness, holding on to something that's keeping you from God's very best. And I can see that you see that face, or you can see that pain. I'm telling you right now, I can feel some of you just, you don't know the pain. I'm telling you, God does. Right now, he's here right now. He's in you. Why are you watching? He's there. Just let him take that pain right now, and you just release that person. Just choose, say, I choose to forgive. And then say their name. Just say it. Say their name. In Jesus' name, amen. And just release them. And let that fall off of you. He's a good God. A good Father. So good. Isn't that amazing? So good. So, We're glad we're going to continue having these classes. We're going to continue to have Advanced Foundations. And we know that this is truth. So thank you for allowing us to come into your home as you view and join us for these classes. Next time, grab a friend, join us, do a watch party, because we know that God has great things in store for you. So I'm going to tell you to go out and be the church to the unchurch.
Thank you for listening to the Sojourn Church podcast. For more messages or content similar to this, please visit our website. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit the first link in the show description or visit sojournchurch.org/give.